Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Samach Bet, Amud Bet, four lines up from the bottom, Tanya. We have a brayto. Chayrim omrim, higdim mulim la'arelim kasher. Arelim l'mulim pasul. We have a brayto that says when you mix those that have a brit milah together with those that do not have a brit milah, the din is always the same. Depends on which one you have the machshava for first. If you have mulim before arelim, if you have those that are mahul come before the those that are arelim, then it's fine. It's kasher. The other way around, if you mention the arelim first, and then the mulim, then those that have a brit milah, pasul. Mara asks right away, Maishna, what's the difference? Mulin arelim de kasher. Why are the mixture of having those that are with the brit milah together, those that are arelim, and we say that that is kasher? The kula or la bainan, because we have from the pasuk before that we've learned, b'chol arel lo yochal bo. So, ashiyu kula or la, that you're only problematic when everyone is an or la. So, if that's the reasoning behind, and that's why it's okay over here, because the lekka, you don't have that. Arelim the mulim, nami. In the instance where the arelim come from the mulim, kula or la bainan b'lekka. They have the same situation, which is that you require b'chol arel lo yochal bo, they have to be all arelim, and you don't have a full set of arelim here. So why is there a difference between these two cases? Lema kasavar acherim, let us say that the acherim, meaning the authors of this braita, believe eina l'shchita elu basuf. Shchita only applies at the end, ukit di rova. Like rova, the position of rova, amarova adayin hi machloket. It is still a machloket. Therefore, I'll come back, we'll explain what that means, but therefore, hikti mulim na'arelim, if he put mulim before arelim, mulim chayle, arelim lo chayle. Because at this point, shchita has a momentary lapse and shchita's gone, because in the shchita, ele basof. It's a machloket, whether yesh the shchita mitchila v'atsof, shchita is a process, that in cutting the two simanim to do shchita, it's all part of the Maisa Shchita. So there's one opinion that means that as long as you're engaged from beginning to end, that is part of Shchita. There's another opinion that there's only Shchita Basof, that everything else is the preparation, that last cut that you make, that brings you over to Rov Shnei Simanim, that's what makes the Shchita. That moment there's a Shchita. So based on the opinion that Ein Shchita Ela Basof, Shchita only applies at the end, then we have a moment in time where everything takes effect. An assumption of the Gemara being that that's when you start to have your machshava. You have your machshava at that moment when the shechita takes effect. That's when you have your machshava. Well, there's only sufficient time to have one machshava because it's so short. It happens in a moment. So in the case where you had the mulim before the arelim, then the mulim chayle, arelim lo chayle, then the only thing to take effect is the mulim because that's what happened at that moment when shechita took place. Hikdim arelim the mulim. On the other hand, if it's the other way around and the arelim precede the mulim, arelim chayle, mulim lo chayle. Then the arel, or the machshavat arel takes effect. That of the mulim doesn't take effect because it's too late. There's only that moment in time when the shechita takes place. You only have one machshava, so whatever the first machshava is, that's what you have because there's nothing else for you to have. Right, you would have thought. The simpler way to understand is that, but the Gemara doesn't understand it. The Gemara understands that he starts his machshava when the shechita is effective. Not that he starts the machshava and then when he reaches that moment in time where the shechita over, that's his last thought. Right? That's maybe the simpler way you would have thought the Gemara has, but it doesn't read that way. It reads that the moment where you start your machshava is the time that that threshold is reached. Based on that, the first thought you have is only one that is relevant. Now, what does it mean here that in a shechita l'besof, like Rava, because Rava says it's a dying heat machloket, we already mentioned a number of times this machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says tfos lashon rishon. Rabbi Meir thinks that you go after the first thing that you say. And Rabbi Yossi who says af bigmar dvarav adam nitpas. That we look at the entire statement of the individual. So we know this machloka, the maram, the gemara tmura. But a person who says arezu tmurat shlamim tmurat orla or tmurat orla tmurat shlamim. Then which one is effective? Rabbi Meir says it's the first one that you say is effective. Yossi says, no, they're both effective. And they both take hold on the animal. You sell it and you sell it half and half. So then, Ibai Lahu, they had a question. Amar chetzia ola v'chetzia shlamim. Person says, I want this to be half an ola and half a shlamim. What is Rabbi Meir's position in that case? Does Rabbi Meir now finally agree to Rabbi Yossi? Because your expression is saying, I want it to be half a shlamim. So by saying a half, you're indicating up front that your first statement is not an entire statement. So I say, half ala, half shlamim. That means that the whole statement is what I want to take place. So is he going to agree to Rabbi Yossi or there or not? Abaye says he agrees to Rabbi Yossi in that case. Rabbi says, adayin hi machloket. It's still a machloket. Because there are two ways to view Rabbi Meir's opinion. One way to view Rabbi Meir's opinion, which we've mentioned before, which is his first statement is what takes effect. Afterwards, the second statement is nimlach. He changed his mind. So since he changed his mind, he can't change his mind after the first statement that he made, and therefore it's ineffective, because changing your mind is not something that matters. Well, if that's the case, then over here, when he said chatzia ola, chatzia shlamim, it should take effect, because he didn't change his mind. From the moment he started to speak, he already knew that he was going to make the second statement, because he said half ola, half shlamim. The whole thing together is the same statement. And he should agree to Rabbi Yossi. The other possibility to view it, Rabbi Meir, is that your first statement takes effect, but then you try to have your second statement take effect, and it's ineffective, which means that you say that harizu tumrat olah, and now the animal turns into a tumrat olah. Then you say harizu tumrat shlamim, there's no room for it to work, because you already made it into a tumrat olah. If that's the case, it also won't work over here, because he begins with chetzi olah. Right, it spreads. You say that it's half an olah, you can't have an animal be half an olah, it automatically comes a full olah. Then you go say, chetzi shlamim, nothing left for it to do, it can't work. So that is the machlok between Abaye and Rava. So does Rabbi Meir agree, or does he not agree? Do we say the reason behind Rabbi Meir is because he is regretting his first statement? So once the olah takes effect, you can't get rid of it. But if he says, chetzi, chetzi, it's okay, because he already gave you indication that he's not regretting it. He had this up front. That's what he had in mind in front. Or maybe since the Kedusha of the Olah already took effect, you can't have the Kedusha Shlamim take effect. And so here Abaye says, Rabbi Meir is Modet Rabbi Yossi. And Rava says, Adayin hi machloket. So that's the statement over here of Rava, which is, Adayin hi machloket. It's still machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. There, Rava poses a question to Abaye. And Rava says to Abaye, "Me'ashochet zebach lechol kezayit b'chutz ukezayit l'machar." Someone does a shechita on an animal to eat kezayit b'chutz outside, meaning that chutz l'mipomo, to eat a kezayit l'machar tomorrow. And there, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan have a machloket. It's a machloket from the Gemara in Zvachim, so that Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Meir, which is tvos lashon rishon. And therefore, kol shemachshevet zman kodem machshevet makom pigu v'chayvin alav karet lo shna b'avodachat lo shna b'shtei avodot. There is a principle there. Rabbi Yehuda believes that if the first machshava you have is pigu, which is chutz lizmano, that you have a machshava of the time or outside the time frame in which you're allowed to eat it, then you have pigu. If your first machshava is about makomo, outside of the makom, then it's problematic. The Chachamim believe that as soon as you have another machshevet psul, you ruin everything. That you have to have machshevet chutz lizmano and nothing else. If you have a machshevet psul, whether it's before, whether it's afterwards, it's problematic. But Rabbi Yehuda believes that it depends on which machshava you have first. Do you have the machshava of chutz lizmano first? Or do you have the machshava of chutz lizmano? Whatever you have first, that's what dictates. Therefore, kol shemachshevet zman kadman machshevet makom. As long as the machshevet zman comes before the machshevet makom, Pigo, v'chayin alav karet, because tfos lashon rishon. As long as the makshevet zman was first, that's the only thing that matters, that's what governs. And the Rabbanim believe, like Rabbi Yossi, that af b'gmar d'varav adam nitpas, and therefore, in one of Oda, it's a mixture of a makshava of chutzlim zmano and chutzlim komo. Chachamim requires, we mentioned before, that there be no other psul here, and the fact that you mention chutzlim komo, as well as chutzlim zmano, ruins it for you. Alma. What we conclude from here is man deitle is supposed to shon rishon afilu dechatzain itle, that one who holds of supposed to shon rishon that applies even to a half, because over here he has a chazayit chutzlim komo and chazayit chutzlim zmano, or the other way around, chazayit chutzlim zmano chazayit chutzlim komo. That's two halves of a thought. He's having it in a single avoda, and one half of the avoda he's thinking about the chazayit of chutzlim zmano, and the other half he's having a chazayit chutzlim komo. Or as Rashi adds, this is one kezayit out of many kezayitim within the animal. So here you have a portion of an item that... And over there we say it's first lashon rishon. The first lashon takes effect. So now, that's the question that Rava opposes to Abaye. According to Abaye, or Abaye's response to him is, If you have yesh pita mitchila atzof, then you don't have a problem here because you have a process rather than a single moment in time. Right, so then you don't have to say that tfos lo shom rishon is taking place through a part of it because the entire shkita is a much bigger process.
But the
saying
and the shkita is done at the same time.
Right, so he says, you think that shkita is only at the end? This is a bias response to Rava. And it's only one thought. Yesh shkita mitchila atzof. Ugon damar. Siman Rishon, the first Siman that he's quoting says, Chutz Lizmano. Sheni, the second Siman, he says, Chutz Lizmano. V'amar Meir Savar, Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir. Siman Echad. You could be Mefagel in half a Matir, or one of the Simanim. So what Abai is successful at doing by saying that the Shkita Mitchletzof is, that I can give discrete, right, I can have discrete thoughts here. I can have half of the Shkita be for this Machshava, the other half for this. And it's effective, because Rabbi Meir believes you can have a makshava b'chatzi matir. So one makshava by the siman echad, another makshava by the second siman, and it's effective. What you see from Rava's question is that he thinks that the shchita, or the fact that he pushed the question that way, is that ain't a shchita ala basof. That he believes that there's only shchita at a moment of time. Since there's shchita at a moment of time, that's why you can ask the question of having the chatzi and chatzi machshava. So now, this is what we conclude, this is what the Gemara is after here, that ain the shkita el abasof, because Rova thinks the dain hi machloket, it's still machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And in addition to that, where we have Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim argue, he questions Abai's position from there, indicating that ain the shkita el abasof. Because Rova says that the machshava, or the joint machshava, is only effective in a single moment in time, he must hold as Einu Shkita Ela Basof. Whereas Abai, who thinks that it's not a problem, says, no, there's Shkita Mitchila Basof. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Let us suggest that the answer to our question about the difference between the ratio of the Breit and the Sefer is within this position of Rava, that there is such a Machlok, and there's Einu Shkita Ela Basof, and therefore you only have a moment in time where you can have a Machshava, and that Machshava only has effect on the first thing that you say. There's no room. There's no time for the second thing that you say. So, v'hainu damrin an hacha. This is what Rashi says, this is what we're saying here. Leima kasavri achirim, let us say that the achirim in the Mishnah say, eina l'shkita ela basof. The shkita is only at the end. V'chol makshevet shkita lo mahaya, ela min bein chishev v'gamra. Whatever makshava you have at that last moment, that's the only thing that matters. Uke deroba, damar hatam adayin hi machloket v'amar l'chatzain. That when you have two parts of a thought, or two thoughts, then that's considered to be split into two. Valkorchach itle the Rabbi Meir ain l'shkita l'basof. And we know Rabbi Meir then holds ain l'shkita l'basof based on Rava's position. And who are the Acherim? Acherim in Shas are Rabbi Meir. That means that this Braita is authored by Rabbi Meir. And therefore, Valkorchach itle Rabbi Meir ain l'shkita l'basof Acherim and Rabbi Meir yilkach. B'gmar shkita ain shaut l'mar shnei dvarim. At the end of shkita, there's no time to say two things. That is the explanation of the Gemara. It's a long way to get there. Look, the Gemara is simple. You explained it up front. But the question is, what was the Gemara speaking about? So that's the answer. The answer is we're talking about Rava's position within the Machloket of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rava thinks the Machloket persists, even when you have two statements or two half statements. In addition to that, we know Rava thinks that and the shkita ala basof. So if you put those two together, then you get this outcome where you can only have a momentary thought, and whatever you had thought you have at that moment, that's what matters. So that's the suggestion of the Gemara. Omar Rabo. Rabo is suggestor, the others have the gears over here, the trovo, but it makes more sense to say it's Rabo. Lo, the olam kasavre achirim, yesh l'shkita mitchila b'yad sof. Now, we don't have to believe that Rabbi Meir or the achirim here believe that the shkita at the end, it's mitchila v'ad sof. How come I askinan? Kugon shgamar b'libo l'tavayu. He had a mind for both of them. He says, I'm going to say ben l'mulim, ben l'arilim. Whether it's mulim arilim, that's what he had in mind to say. V'hotzi mipiv l'arilim. V'lo yispik l'mar l'mulim at shgamar shkita v'arilim. He had in mind to say both. But then he only has sufficient time, or he only has time to articulate one of them. So he articulates one of the two. Obviously, the first of the two that he has, he articulates. This is the machloket. Rabbi Meir savar lo bein and piv vilibo shavim. Rabbi Meir believes what you articulate does not have to match that which you have in mind. Rabban savar bein and piv vilibo shavim. That whatever you articulate have to match what you have in mind, otherwise it's not a good statement. So Rabbi Meir allows you to detach the articulation from what you had in mind. Over here, you had in mind to say both items. In the end, you only articulated one of them. Rabbi Meir says, no problem. You articulated one, that's what you're going to be held accountable for. So if you said Arilim, that's what you're accountable for. If you said Mulin, that's what you're accountable for, even though you had both in mind. But the question is, which do you have in mind first? Because you only articulated one. So whatever you had in mind first, that's the one that you got to articulate. And that's going to be binding according to Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say no. When you articulate something, it's got to match what you're thinking. It doesn't match what you're thinking, it's ineffective, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have effect. So that'd be the machloket over here. That's why the Achirim and the Braita have the opinion that whatever you say first takes effect. That's the only thing that you did say. You had in mind to say both, but the only thing you did say is that. The Gemara says, because of Rabbi Meir, lo be in and pee, vid libel shavim. So Rabbi Meir really believed that you don't have to have your articulation match what you're thinking. V'yaminu. We have a Mishnah that says, ha-mitkaven lomar truma v'mar maser. He intended to say this produce or whatever is here is truma, and instead he said it's maser. Maser v'mar truma. He wanted to say maser, and instead he said truma. Oh, she'ini nichnas l'bayit zeh. He's taking a nether that he's not going to go into this house. V'mar lezeh. Instead he mentioned another house. She'ini nineh lezeh. He says, I don't want to get hana from this individual. V'mar lezeh. He said another individual. Lo amar klum. He said nothing ad shu piv l'boshavim. Until his articulation matches that which he has in mind. And the assumption being here, this is a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So Stam Mishnah in Trumot says, you have to have Piv Vilibo Shavim. So we see that Rabbi Meir doesn't think that you can separate between the articulation and the thought process. So that can't be the explanation. Ela Omar Abaye. Abaye gives you another alternative. Reisha da Amar Siman Rishon Limulim V'Siman Sheni Af Da'arilim. In the first statement, he says, by the first Siman, when you shecht an animal, there are two simanim that you have to get through, the robe of two simanim. So while he's cutting the first siman, he has makshava for muvin, for those that have a brit milah. By the siman sheni, by the second siman, he says, also for arelim. So now, b'siman sheni, mi p'tiche bei muvin. In the second siman, p'tiche means to be mixed together. Arelim and muvin mixed together. So therefore, it's fine. Seifa, on the other hand, the Sefer Dema in Siman Rishon Arilim, the first Siman he says, I'm doing this for those that are Arilim. Siman Sheni is the Mulin. Right, to only the Mulin or even after Mulin, it doesn't really matter. The Siman Rishon Lo P'ticha Ben Mulin. In the first Siman, he never mixed in the Mulin. In the first case, where the first Machshav is about those that have Brit Milah, then he has a single Siman with Brit Milah. The second Siman, he has a mixture of Milah and Arilim. That means that every Siman, yes, he has a thought that is kasher. The first one is Milah, totally fine. Second one is Milah and Arilim, that's also fine. So there you have a fine Shechita. The other way around, when he has a Machshava of Orla first, then in the first Siman, he only had a Machshavet Orla. In the second Siman, now he has a Machshava of Orla and Milah together. So the first Siman, problematic. The second Siman, fine. And this is according to Rabbi Meir Letameis, Rabbi Meir Leshitato, which we had just mentioned before again in Rashi, that mifaglim b'chatzi matir. You're allowed to have a machshev pigul for a chatzi matir, for half of something that allows the animal to be brought as a korban or to be put on the mizbeach. So that's the mifaglim b'chatzi matir, therefore. If you can be mifagel b'chatzi matir, the fact that you had a thought on one Siman, a whole thought in one Siman just about Arilim, that causes you a problem. Whereas the Rabban on the Tamayu, the Rabban here argue on the Achirim, argue on the Braita, say, Eim ifaglim b'chatzi matir. You can't have pigul on half a matir. And therefore, until you put together all your thoughts, that's the only thing that's meaningful. Once you put together all your thoughts, then you had a makshev darla, you had a makshev mlin. Doesn't matter which one you had first, doesn't matter which one on each Siman. In the end, it turns out you had both thoughts during Shechita, and therefore it's not problematic. So the Chachamim are the Shita Dam that you would only have Pigul with the entire Machshava. If that's the case, then having a thought during one Siman and a thought during the other Siman are not relevant independently. They're only relevant together as a total picture. The total picture is you said Arel and you said Mahol, said Mulin and Arilin, you're totally fine. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says you can divide between the portions of a Matir. You can have half the Matir have one thought and the other half of Matir have another thought. So here you had a thought about Arilim with one part of the Matir, and then you had another thought about Arilim and Mulin on the other half of the Matir. That part that you had a Machshav about Arilim alone about, that's problematic. That'll be the difference in whether Arilim comes first or Mulin comes first. When Mulin comes first, you have no single part of the Matir that has a thought about Arilim on it alone. Whereas if you have Arilim first, then the first Siman, the first Chatzim Matir is with the Arielim alone, and that's what's problematic. So that's the explanation of that shita of the Achirim of Rabbi Meir over there. Next Mishnah. Shochet et ha-Pesach al ha-Chametz. One who shechs a Pesach while still in possession of Chametz, over lo tase, he's in violation of the lo tase of lo tishchat al-Chametz dam zivchi. You may not shech the Korban ha-Pesach when you have Chametz in your possession. But Yehuda Meir, afa tamid. Yehuda says it's not limited to the Pesach. It says lo tishchat al-Chametz dam zivchi. It doesn't specify the dam zivchi. There can be any Korban. So he says, not only does it apply to the Korban HaPesach, it applies to the Korban Tamid as well. B'Shimon Omer, a Pesach ba'arba asar lishma. He brings a Pesach on the 14th, Erev Pesach, at the Zman HaPesach, l'shem Pesach, chayav. Then you have a problem, because then he brought a kosher Korban Pesach. He brought it on the 14th, Erev Pesach, at the right time, and he shechs it at the Zman Korban HaPesach. Then he has a problem, because it's a kosher Korban Pesach. Kosher Korban Pesach is now in violation of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Shelo Lishmo, if in the afternoon he does it L'Shem Shlamim, which makes it into a Posul Korban, Patur. This is Rabbi Shimon Shitato, who says that Shchita She'en Ruya in a Shchita. If you do a Shchita that's inappropriate, it's not anything. It's not even Shchita. Over here, you're doing Shchita L'Shem Shlamim, makes it a Posul Korban. You don't have a Shchita here. If you don't have a Shchita, you can't be in violation of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi, because you didn't do Shchita. The Shechita is not only is it posel the Korban, it's not even called the Shechita anymore. So the Korban HaPesach Lo Lishma, we already know, is no good on Ben Arbayim on Erev HaPesach. V'shar kol hazvachim, any other Korban, Ben Lishman, Ben Shlo Lishman Patur, whether it's the Shem Pesach, whether it's the Shem Shlamim, on Erev HaPesach you are Patur, because he believes that it doesn't have impact on other Korbanot. Whereas, if you do it B'moed, on Pesach itself, then lishmo patur. If you do a korban of Pesach l'shem Pesach on Pesach itself, then that's a pasul korban. Since it's a pasul korban, you're not in violation of lo tishchat hachametz dam zivchi. On the other hand, if you do it lo lishmo, if you do a Pesach l'shem shlamim on Pesach, that's effective because that's a Pesach shlo bizmano. Pesach shlo bizmano turns into a shlamim when you make say shlamim. That's fine. Then you have a good korban and you're in violation of lo tishchat hachametz dam zivchi. Then kol hazvachim, shar kol hazvachim, any other zavach. Ben Lishman, Ben Shlolishman, whether you do Lishmo, Shlolishmo Chayav, because there's no problem with the Korban. The Korban is an effective Korban, and therefore you would be Chayav. Chutz, min Chatat, Shachto Lo Lishma. Except for the Chatat, that if you shech the Lo Lishma, it makes it Pasul. Since Lo Lishmo by Chatat makes it Pasul, then you have a Shchita Shein Ruya. Any other Korban, whether you do it Lishem, Korban Pesach, whether you do it Shlo Lishem, Korban Pesach, doesn't matter because whether you do lishmo or shalol lishmo, the korban is that the shchita is effective. Question of whether it's oled lebalim or not, fine. But in terms of the shchita, it's a fine shchita, and you're there for lo tishchat hachametz dam zivchi. So that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon's opinion number one is that an erev pesach, it only matters for korban pesach, not for any other korban. And therefore, you have to figure out whether you have a kosher korban pesach. If you don't have a kosher korban pesach on pesach itself, then it applies to all korbanot as long as the korban is kasher. There's a violation of Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Therefore, by Korban and Pesach, that only works when you bring it L'Shem Shlamim, because then it's kosher. By any other Korban, when you do it L'Shmo, Shlo L'Shmo, since the Korban is kosher, therefore you're in violation of Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. The one exception is Chatat, which like Pesach, if you do it wrong, it doesn't work. So if you do it Chatat L'Shlo L'Shmo, then it's a failure in the Korban, and you don't have Shchita over here. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Galakish, the Ulam Inu Chayav. The only chayav for the violation of Tishkat HaChametz Dav Zivchi is Ad Sheyei Chametz L'Shochet, or L'Zarik. Who has to own the chametz here for you to be chayav? The Shochet, the one who's doing the Shechita. The Zarik, the one who's doing the Zrikat HaDam. Or the Echad Mibnei HaChabura. Or someone who is a party to this Korban HaPesach. Ad Sheyei Mo Bazara. In addition to that, it has to be present with him in the Azara. So here you have two qualifications that Reish Lakish makes, which is not obvious from the pasuk. Pasuk says lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Number one is sounds like only the one who's doing shchita is in violation of the lav, and that's what the Reish says. Eino chayav here, bala chametz is only chayav ela ashochet ve'azorek. When the pasuk says lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, lo tishchat teaches you shchita, and dam teaches you the zrikat adam. So therefore, if you are the shochet or the zorek, if the shochet or the zorek, or one of the bnei chubra owns chametz, That affects the one who's doing the Shkita, or that affects the one who's doing the Zrika. And in addition to that, the second thing Reish Lakish requires is that he has it present with him inside the Azara. So again, Reish Lakish makes two qualifications. The ownership of the Chametz can be the Shochet, the Zareik, or one of the Bnei Chabura. Again, not obvious from the Pasuk. Number two is that it has to be present with them in the Azara. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with everything except Afupi Sheni Moba Azara. He agrees with Reish Lakish's first statement, but not his second statement, that it has to be present with him. It can be even anywhere, not in the Azara. As long as he owns it, it's problematic. But my Kamiflagay, what's this machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about? Ilema ba'al b'samuch kamiflagay, they argue about the definition of the word al. It says, lo tishchat al chametz dav simchi. What does it mean, al? B'shimon lo yochi savar al b'samuch. Al means, literally, proximate, next to. So that means the shechita is done in the Azara. You got to have the chametz there in the Azara. B'yochan savar lo binan al b'samuch. Al just means together. Together can mean anywhere in the world. As long as you own it and it's happening, that's simultaneous. It doesn't have to be physically proximate. It just has to be that you own it and the shkita is taking place. We already have this makhluk between them, so why do we need it again? Titznan, we have a Mishnah. A shuchet todah lifnim. He's shechting his todah inside the azara. The word here should be belachma chutz lechoma. And the bread that comes with the karvan todah is not with him in lo kidei shalechem. The lechem does not become kodesh. The way the lechem becomes kodesh is that you take the lechem when you bring it, and you makdish it to hekdesh. When you makdish it, that's kedushat damim. You made the value of the lechem kodesh. In order to take on the full effect of kodesh, to have kedushat aguf, where the item itself becomes inherently kodesh, and you cannot remove it anymore. Plus, it has all the trappings of kodesh, which means that there's psulina, pigol, all these other things take effect on the kodesh. Well, that happens with the shechita tazevach. When you shech the korban atodah, then it makes, elevates, upgrades the lechem from kedushat tamim to kedushat haguf. So now, the Mishnah says that when you shech the todah and the lechem is not present, then the lechem is not kodesh. Question is, where was the lechem? Mai chutz lechoma. Where was the lechem outside the wall? Well, there are two walls that we know about. Inside of Yerushalayim, there are two walls that have meaning. There's the chomot azara, the walls of the Azara, and there are chomot Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim. Which one of these is the Mishnah referring to? When it says the bread's outside the walls, does it mean it was outside the walls of Yerushalayim? Does it mean that the bread was outside the walls of the Azara? Well, that's a machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan amar chutz l'chomat Beit Pagi. It's outside the wall of Beit Pagi, which is the furthest reaches of Yerushalayim. It's outside the wall of Yerushalayim. Aval chutz l'chomat Azara Kaddish. If it's outside the wall of the Azara, it works. Because a todah is kodshim kalim. And the Kodshim Kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Therefore, the perimeter in which Todah is effective in giving Kedushah to its bread is anywhere inside of Yerushalayim. So as long as the bread's in Yerushalayim, the Todah has effect on the breads, because the Todah after this will be able to be taken outside of Yerushalayim. Therefore, it has influence, impact on its bread inside of Yerushalayim. Whereas, if the bread is outside of Yerushalayim, it has no longer has an impact. And why is that? Because lo b'inan al b'samuch. We don't require that literally the bread be present along with the zevach. Because there the pasuk says, al zevach todat shlamav, that the bread is brought on the zevach todat. What does it mean, on the zevach todat? Does that mean that it's proximate to it? Or it just means that it's within the sphere of influence? Well, sphere of influence is anywhere inside of Yerushalayim. That's where todat can be taken. That's where it can be eaten. Whereas Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Amar Achilu Chutz L'Chomat Azara. Even if the bread's outside the walls of Zara, Lo Kodesh, it doesn't work. Alma, being an Alba Samoch, he requires the bread be proximate. Al, the Todat Zevach, or the Zevach Todat Shlamav, is literally proximate to it. It has to be physically present within, inside the Azara. Where you do Shritata Todah? In the Azara. That's where you have to have the Lechem. So we already have this Machloka between them about whether Al means literally proximate, physically proximate, or just means that it's at the same time. So that can't be what they're arguing about here. Hello? Hatrat safek kamiflegay. They're arguing about a hatrat, a warning, where we're not definitive about the warning. Because over here, when you tell the individual, don't have any chametz with you, he could have chametz with him somewhere else. So Rashi claims that when you give him hatrat, you can't be certain. Kaven da'ana lo aviyadina lav hatrahi. When you go give him hatrat, you say, make sure you don't own any chametz when you're doing the shkita. And when you give him hatrat, you're not sure he owns chametz. Because the chametz could be anywhere. Could be here with him present, it could be somewhere else with him. So since you don't know whether he has chametz or not, that by definition is a hadrat safek. Your warning is a warning that is a safek. You can't tell definitively that he has chametz or not. You're warning him, don't have chametz. So David argues, and that's what Tosfot says, because I don't understand. The whole purpose of hatra'ah is to change the individual from being a shogeg and saying he's doing it by accident to a mezid. So what does that mean, change him from a shogeg to a mezid? He says, listen, it doesn't matter whether you know he has chametz or not. The whole point is whether he knows he has chametz. You're warning him, don't have chametz, don't own chametz, because then if he does own it, he's doing it on purpose now, and he has a problem. So Tosfot says, that's not called hatrat safek. Rather, the hatrat safek is, the Tosfot doesn't say this, but the hatrat safek could be, that the hatrat, the individual himself may not know he has chametz in his possession. Because it's not proximate, it's not physically present with him, it could be somewhere else, and he hasn't realized that he owns the chametz.
I didn't
realize I had the chametz here, so that's really a hatrat safek that gets home, and he figures out that he has the chametz. That's why it's a hatrat safek, or he answers on behalf of Rashi, the possibility that the person can deny our hatra'ah, because we don't know for sure he has chametz, therefore he can always deny it. Where it says, Bahanami plegei b'chala b'chad zimna. They had this machlokes once before as well. Ditmar, shvua sholchal kikar zuayo. He takes a shvua that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today. Vavara yom v'achlak. And the day goes by and he doesn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan and Yishim and Akash Shemar Tavayo in a loke. Both of them say he doesn't get machlok. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get makot. Mishum davele lav shein bo maaseh. You took no action. In order to get makot, you have to violate a lotus in the Torah. Here you took a shvuah, you mean violation of your shvuah. You only do that by being passive. You simply sit around, do nothing. Well, if you're passive in violation of a lotus, you can't get makot. Chos lav shein bo maaseh ain't lokin alav. So that's why he doesn't get makot over here. On the other hand, he says about hatrat safek. The fact that the hatrat here is hatrat safek, that's not a problem, because that's Shema Hatra'ah. Here, every time you tell him, you better eat the bread, if you don't eat the bread, you're going to violation of your Shavuah. Anytime you tell that to him during the day, he could eat it later. It's not a real Hatra'ah. You're not sure that he's not going to eat the bread. You can't say for sure at this moment when you tell him, make sure you eat the bread, because if you don't, you're in violation, because he could eat the bread in the next minute. He could eat it in the next 5 minutes. He could eat it after you say it. So anytime you're warning him, it's not a definitive warning, because he always has more time left in the day. And because of that, it's really a Hatra'ah Safek. Rabbi Yochanan says, hatrat safek doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that it's a lav shein bo maaseh. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar in a lokeh, Shum Davilei hatrat safek. Shum Lakish says, the problem here is hatrat safek. Hatrat safek, lo shmei hatrat, doesn't work. Av a lav shein bo maaseh, this fact that it's a lav that has no action to it, loke in a lav, I have no problem, you can be loke here, because it's dibur, and dibur might be enough, shvua might be an exception to the rule, whatever it is, but the machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as to why you don't get machloket over there, is about a machloket, about whether hatrat safek is shma hatra, which Rabbi Yochanan says it is a good hatra, and Rabbi Zalkar says it's not a good hatra, it's not a good warning. That type of warning is whether it's effective or not is machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. So why do I need you to tell me the same machloket again? We haven't found out what they're arguing about here about the chametz in the azara. So Gemara says, okay, imre the olam baal samuch kamiflege. They're arguing about whether al means physically present, proximate, or just at that time. Vitzricha, so then, we have the question before. We already have the machloka between them with regards to the korban todah. Where it says we need both of them. De iflu v'yei le'inyan chametz. They argue about chametz. Hava mina bahu dekama Rabbi Yochanan. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says al does not have to be present, physically present. Do abinan al b'samuk v'sham de isurhu. You're in violation of isur. V'ho eicha de ite ite. Wherever it is, it is. I mean, the problem here is owning the chametz. It's irrelevant where the chametz is, because it's the ownership that matters. So ownership is irrelevant where the physical chametz is. Aval the inyan, mikdash lechem. We're talking about making the lechem into something kodesh, lo kodesh ele bifnim. That only can be kadosh when it's physically present. So you would have think Rabbi Yochanan would have changed his mind with regards to the karban toah. Ema modile the Reb Shimon Lakish, he'll agree to Reb Shimon Lakish when it comes to the karban toah. To be in an abas amuch, you need to be physically present. De'ita gavai kadish, if it's there in the azara, it works. Ilo lo kadish, if it's not there, it doesn't work. Midahava klei sharet, just the way klei sharet work. Rashi says, what does it mean that klei sharet work? Klei sharet are only effective, Rashi says, when you put something into them. So if you put something into them, that's when they work. If you don't put something into them, they work. Tosu says he doesn't think that's a fair comparison, but he says rather, when it says klei sharet, means that klei sharet are only effective when they're in the azara. Klei sharet outside the azara are not effective. Klei sharet inside the azara are makdish, whatever goes into them. So do you see they're effective only when they're in their place of work, which is the azara. So just like Klei Sharet are only effective inside the Ezra, so too, the Kiddush HaLechem should only take place when it's inside the Ezra. You would think Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish in this case of the Karban Todah. So Tzricha, therefore we need you to tell me that's not the case. Rabbi Yochanan still disagrees by the Karban Todah. If you only told us the din by the Korban Todah, about the Lechem in Kodesh, Havina Bahakam Rav Shimon Lakish. Only there Rav Shimon Lakish requires to be in an Albus Samuch, that be physically present or proximate. Dita Gavai Kaddish, Ilo Lo Kaddish. If it's there inside the Ezra, it works. If it's not, it doesn't. But the Indian Chametz, by case of Chametz, Moldi the Rabbi Yochanan, by the Uchishchat, Chametz Dam Zuchim, maybe agrees to Rabbi Yochanan. Though being in Alba Samuch, the Isura, they were there about a violation of the Isura. Wherever it exists, wherever it's present, you're in violation of the Isura of the ownership. Tzricha, therefore, it teaches that Reish Lakish disagrees even in that case. So we need both dinim that teach us the same din, which is they argue about whether al means physically present or not, but each one of them has its own chidush, because each one of them is different than another. The Todah, there's reason to believe that you need physical presence because of the nature of Kodashim. And by Chametz, there's a reason to believe you don't need physical presence because you're talking about an Isur, you're talking about the violation of a Lotaseh. So since there's reason in both of these cases to think otherwise, we need you to tell us that the Machloket exists in both cases. And that's why we have the same Machloket brought in two different circumstances, because each circumstance is unique. And we need you to tell us that Rav Yochanan believes the same thing in both, and Reish Lakish believes the same thing in both. Rav Yoshaya of Rabbi Ami. Ein lo l'shochet. If the Shochet doesn't have Chametz, but one of the parties to the Korban Pesach has it, what's the din? Amarle, Miktiv lo tishchat al chametzcha. Pasuk doesn't say that you can't shecht on your Chametz. It says lo tishchat al chametz, Tiv. Just says Chametz in the generic form, not in the possessive form. It doesn't have to be your Chametz. Amarle, yehochi, afilu echad besof olam nami. If the problem here is Chametz, then why, if someone in Timbuktu owns Chametz, why aren't you in violation? If you're saying that it's not relevant that this person is shechting the Korban HaPesach, that it be his chametz, it can be anybody's chametz, then why does it have to be even someone who's a party to the Korban HaPesach? It can be anybody owns chametz. Amakra, the pasuk says, lo tishchat chametz dam zivchi, velo yalin chalev chagi ad boker. The subsequent pasuk says, lo yalin chalev chagi ad boker. Lo tishchat chametz, hanach dekami alei mishum lo yalin. The shechting of the korban is only in violation when you own chametz, if you are also party to the next part of the pasuk, which is lo yalin. You may not leave over from that till the morning. But who is a party to lo yalin chalev chagi ad boker? That's someone who is an owner of the korban pesach, one who's doing the shechita, the one who's doing the zrika. They all have relevance with terms of leaving over the korban till the morning. Whether it's leaving over the basar, whether it's leaving over the chalavim, they have relevance in leaving it over to the morning. Since they have relevance of the next part of the pasuk, which is lo yalin chalav chagiyat boker, they also have relevance to lo tishkat chametz dam zivchei. So what the Gemara did was it expanded the definition to say that the chametz here doesn't have to be your chametz, meaning the one who's in the activity now, it doesn't have to be his chametz, but it's not so expansive that it includes any chametz in the world. You're limited to those people who have relevance to the Korban HaPesach. Who has relevance to the Korban HaPesach? Anybody who can be in violation of lo leilin chalev chagi ad the boker. Anybody who's leaving over the Korban would have impact. And those owners, and the shochet, and the zareket adam. Amar Papa hilkach. Therefore, goein hamaktira techelev over belotase. We can add another person to this picture. Not only do we have lo tishkat, the one who's doing shkita, not only the one who is zareka to dam, because it's lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchei, but also the one who's maktira to chelev, the one who puts the chalavim, the fats on the mizbeach, over below to say, oh, v'yesh no b'chlal al nat emurim. Since he has impact on whether the emurim are left over to the morning or not. Since he has impact in that, his chametz should be relevant, number one. And number two is, he could be in violation. If he's maktira to chalavim, he's in violation of lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchei. Tanya Kavati de Rapapa, we have a bright that supports Rapapa's position. A shochet at a pesach al chametz. One who shechts a pesach with chametz, over belotase, violates a lotase. Ematai, when's that true? Bizman shu the shochet, whether the chametz is owned by the one who's doing shchita, or the zarek, or the one who's doing zrikat adam, or the echad mibnei arbuch, or bura, or anybody's a party to the korban pesach. Hayale echad besof olam, someone in the end of the world that owns chametz, ain't zakuklo, it's not meaningful. Ve'echad ha-shochet, ve'echad ha-zarek, ve'echad ha-maktir chayav. And the shochet, the zarek, and the maktir are the ones who can be in violation of lo tishkat ha-chametz dav zibchi. Aval ha-moleket of, someone who does melikan the of, or basar on the 14th, ain't over below klum. He's not in violation of anything. So what you see from this bright is, number one, Whose chametz is relevant? Only the shochet, the zoreik, and the owners of the korban. That's number one. Who can be in violation? Who can be in violation of the tishkat chametz dam zivchi? The shochet, the zoreik, and the maktir. So here the brayta added in the maktir like Rav Papa. So that's what the brayta shows you, that the maktir also can be in violation of this lav if someone owns chametz who's a party to the korban pesach. The brayta also says that malik has no impact. If you're doing malika, now malika is clearly not a korban pesach. Because milika is mikata of. We're clearly not talking about a korban pesach over there. So this person is doing shkita. Rashi claims that it doesn't really matter whether it's milika on the oaf or whether it's shkita on a behemah. The reason the Gemara Braita brought milikata oaf is because that's a very common occurrence on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Because anybody who's mechusar kippurim has to bring their korban in order to bring the korban pesach. We said before there's a dispensation to bring it after the korban tamid in order to bring the korban pesach. Because the asay of pesach is doche the asay of ashlama. It allows you to bring the birds. So he says the reason they mention birds is because that's the most common korban, but not because that's the only way. Even if you did shkita, it's not effective. This is according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that lo tishkat al chametz dam zivchi only applies to korban pesach, doesn't apply to any other korban. He'll be the author of this brayta. V'raminu, we have a problem. We have another brayta that seems to disagree with this, which is hashochet at the pesach al chametz over belo taseh. You shech the korban pesach with chametz, you violate the lo taseh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af atamid. Like in our mission, Rabbi Yehuda says it affects even other korbanot, not just the korban pesach. Amrulo, lo amruel pesach bilvad. They said to him, no, the pesach is the only thing affected by this lav. Eimadai, when is that true? Bizman sheyesh lishochet, olu zoreik ol echad mei b'yachara. That's only if the chametz is owned by the shochet, the one who's doing the shkita, the zoreik, the zrikat adam, or the one who's a party to the korban pesach. V'ya echad v'sof olam ein zokuklo. If someone has chametz at the end of the earth, you don't have to worry about him. V'echad ha-shochet, v'echad ha-zoreik, v'echad ha-molek, v'echad ha-mazeh chayav. Wait a minute, who can be a violation of the Tishkat HaChametz, the Zivchi? The Shochet is a rake, which can be at the Korban HaPesach. But also the Molek and the Mazeh, which is clearly about a bird, and it's not about a Korban HaPesach, they're also Chayav. But Kometz at the Mincha, I know Over below does it. But the one who does Kometz on the Mincha is not Over. Now the one who does the Kometz on the Mincha is not in violation of the Lota Seh, because that's not Shchita. It says Lot Tishkat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Taking off the Kometz, even though it's like Shchita, it's not Shchita. On the other hand, Mulika is considered to be Shchita, and you'll be Chayav. V'amaktir et emurim in over below tese. And the one who brings the emurim also cannot be in violation of the lo tese. So now you have two stiras between these breita. The first stira is Kasha Mulika Mulika. In the breita, the first breita it says Mulika ta'of, no chiyuv for that. And the second breita it says there is a chiyuv for Mulika ta'of. Number two is, in the first breita, Kasha Akhtara Akhtara. The first breita it says Hamaktir is Chayav. For lo tishkat chametz dam zivchi, and the second brayta says the maktir is not chayav. It says li tamech. According to your reasoning, tishlach lach hi gufa. The second brayta is internally inconsistent. Diktani lo amru elo pesach bilvad. The brayta says that you're only chayav for lo tishkat chametz dam zivchi about a pesach. V'hadar tani, and then it says echad ha-shochet v'echad ha-zareik v'echad ha-molek v'echad ha-mazeh. Then it comes and all of a sudden mentions other korbanot besides the korban pesach. Ella ha v'ha Rabbi Shimon. Both brightot are authored by Rabbi Shimon, and therefore only Korban Pesach is relevant. On Erev Pesach, nothing else. Mulika lo mika lo kasha. Mulika is not a problem. Kan ba basar. One is on Erev Pesach. Kan becholosho moed. On the 14th, on Erev Pesach, Mulika has no impact, as Rabbi Shimon says, the din of lo tishkat chametz dam zivchi only affects the Korban Pesach, no other Korban. So Mulika is about another Korban. Since it's about another Korban, therefore, doesn't have any impact on Erev Pesach. Kan, b'chol shomoed. The second brayta is talking about b'chol shomoed. There, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it affects every korban. Lo tishkat chametz divzchi has effect on all korban, and therefore malika's chayav. Then where it says, v'idi, Rabbi Shimon hi, and haktara, nami lo kasho. They're both Rabbi Shimon, both brayta to Rabbi Shimon, and it's not a problem. The nahi, it's a machloket tanaim. D'idi, the mekish, haktara, the shkita. V'ikaban, the lo mekish. Some say that there's an ekish between haktara and shkita, meaning that the lo yalin chelev chagi ad boker, which is the next pasuk, affects the shchita. It's because it says lo tishkat chametz dam zivchi. Do I consider the juxtaposition of these psukim to teach me that just like you're chayav shchita, you're also chayav for halanat emurim, for the akhtarat emurim? Or do I not say that? So these are two tanaim in the position of Rabbi Shimon who say, one says yes, one says no. Now both of them agree that lo yalin chelev chagi ad boker does have impact because it limits who can own chametz that's going to affect the korban. So they both agree with that. The question is, do you take the next step and say that even that lo yalin chelev chagi ad boker tells you who's going to be chayav as well? So one says yes, one says no. And that is how we explain the difference between the two brayta. So they're both authored by Rabbi Shimon. The first brayta is on Erev Pesach. Since it's on Erev Pesach, Malika is not effective. It doesn't matter. And that's why he says it. Haktorah does matter because that Tana thinks that Rabbi Shimon matches up between Lo Yalin Chavir Chag Yavoka to Lo Tishkat HaChameit Tav Zivchi. The second brayta is also Rabbi Shimon. But the first half of the brayta is talking about an Erev Pesach. That's where he says, only thing that's affected is Pesach Bilvad. The second half of the brayta that says it affects Malika and it does not affect Haktorah is on Cholosho Moed. Wait, Rabbi Shimon says Malika is effective. Ah, why doesn't it affect Haktorah? This Tana believes Rabbi Shimon does not connect between Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dav Zivchi to Lo Yalin Chalav Hagi Ad Boker. Okay, we'll stop here.